white Christmas.
No coloured fake trees, door bows or tinsel, and do not put your tree up until mid-December. This is some of the advice from the etiquette expert, William Hansen. He says your decorations, your Christmas tree decorations, can reveal your social class. William Hansen. Good morning, William.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, Tina Calder. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
So how you hang your balls up in your Christmas tree, William Hansen, dictate your social class?
Well, because they are our decor, just like our decor throughout the rest of the year, is a conscious choice. And it sort of can represent, I think it represents the mind state that somebody is in and their aspirations or perhaps lack thereof, which of course is completely their choice whether they have them or not, and they don't have to. But I think it reveals a lot about how somebody positions themselves in society.
Now, I like all the kind of, so I like all the plasticky little reindeers and Rudolphs. That's what I would put in my tree. What does that say about me?
Well, it says you're a bit common.
I'm proud to be common.
Well, that's marvellous. And that's good.
You see, you think it's a slight. You think it's a criticism. I'm very proud to be common. I don't want to be aloof and posh and stuck up.
No, and that's marvellous, and that's completely all right.
Would you like to be common?
Well, it would be fun for a day or so, wouldn't it?
Tina?
I don't know where to start, Stephen. I really don't.
The thing is, he's serious. He's serious.
I know, and I'm trying not to be disrespectful.
I wouldn't mind being common for a day. It might be fun. You know,
so, one of the things that I've noticed that there's this idea that if you dress your living room tastefully and beautifully, then obviously you must be middle or upper class. And if you do it in mid-December, you're obviously... So what I think is really bizarre for me is, number one, I love the old-fashioned Christmas decorations. I love, like, the reds and the greens. And in my house, I do actually do it quite tastefully. I also don't put them up until the 15th because of my son's birthday. But I'm as common as muck. I was dragged up in the Shore Road like anybody else. So for me, I'm kind of like, no, it does not... It does not show your social class. It shows your tastes, your personal budget. It shows your, you know, whether you're creative, what your personal style is, what your favourite colours are, what the colours of your living room are. You know, I think this is absolutely ridiculous. You can't tell somebody's class just by how they decorate their Christmas tree.
Well, I think you can. With all due respect, marvellous that you don't put your tree up until at least the 15th. I mean, the 17th onwards would be optimal, but 15th is better than the 1st of December.
The reason I do that is not for etiquette reasons. It's because my son has a birthday on the 14th.
Yeah, well, let me just hear from William a little bit more. So how does it determine an indication of your social class? That's the bit I don't get, William. What are you saying? What are you saying working class people are more likely to do?
Well, no, it's not. We're not sort of getting into the working class bit. It's basically upper class and then everybody else, and I'm putting the middle class in that as well. So it's upper class or not upper class.
Yes, example. And what are you saying? What are you saying the upper class do?
Well, let's look at the Christmas tree itself.
Yes.
Real versus fake, for example. Generally, the upper classes would prefer a real tree because it is authentic. It's the real deal. Having something that is sort of manufactured, man-made, doesn't really look anything like a proper Christmas tree, is a bit naff.
I don't know, William. I mean, when I was a kid, my mum absolutely loved real trees, and we were a house of 9 people. 7 children, 2 adults. We had this enormous, beautiful, traditional, you know, real tree. And it was so big, she decorated it with her balloons. I'll never forget it.
And I, like, William, like, so what I do around my tree, I get a man to put my tree up because I'm useless with that. But I put, I bring Vinnie and Gareth down to do my tree up. They refuse to do it every year. I put cotton wool around my tree.
Cotton wool?
Yes, to represent the snow.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, right.
Do you not like that?
Well, it's cotton wool.
It's to represent the snow.
Do you have slightly dodgy eyesight?
I'm sorry, William?
Do you have dodgy eyesight? Do you look at it and think, oh, it's snowing indoors, or do you not just look at it and want to put some toner on your face or something with it?
Toner?
Yeah, well, you know, some sort of beauty product on your face. I mean, that's what you use.
Can I just, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but I like doing that. Can I also just get an understanding, because I don't know. Are you labelled a class based on what? Based on what you're born into, or can you move from class to class?
Of course you can move from class to class.
So what would I be? Am I working class or what am I? How do you determine class?
I would say that you're middle class, probably, because you're working for a fairly middle class organisation. You probably own your own house. It's probably got just numerous middle class decor around. I mean, I haven't been over to any of your houses.
Nor will you ever get into my house, let me assure you.
Well, quite. There we go. So probably middle class. But look at Noel Coward as well, born into a very working class family. But come the end of his life, he was dining with the Queen Mother almost every week.
What do you put on top of your tree?
A star, because it is a star that's in the Christmas story, not a fairy.
I put a fairy on top of my tree.
Well, there we go.
I put a star on top of mine, but I'm still working class.
You see, you have some upper class tendencies, whether you like it or not.
I love it. I love it. Keep talking, will you?
What colour are your lights?
My lights? Oh, they're like a whitey-yellow colour. I don't have colour lights.
Well, good. Again, they represent the stars in the sky, and stars in the sky are sort of whitey-yellow. They're not blue, purple, pink, red, green.
Do you not think part of what is nice about Christmas, William, is in terms of decorations, is that them being tacky? Like, I love driving past these houses, and especially maybe houses that, you know, they're not the biggest houses in the world, they're not whatever, and they're celebrating Christmas massively. And you kind of, that's nothing to do with being tacky, by the way, but they've plastered their house in Christmas lights and things. And I kind of think to myself, do you know what? That's actually beautiful, because those people, maybe not with an awful lot of money, and they're trying to make it special for their children. And they're trying to say to the community, come on, let's get into the Christmas spirit. I actually think that's anything but tacky. I think that's lovely. Do you not?
It's lovely, but it would be lovelier if it was done more tastefully.
Do you know what's not festive?
Hello, Vinny.
Good morning. Do you know what's not festive in any way, shape or form? Is a glittery bust, which is what you have in your house.
And you have that.
At the top of your sweeping staircase, there is a glittery bust, which is basically a torso, with a female torso with no arms or legs or a head.
But I like all that bling and glitter stuff.
But it's the most bizarre. It's covered in like little mirrored squares. Now, I don't know. I agree with you in terms of decorations. You should do what you want. But I think your glittery bust for you is a step too far.
You've got to remember that I've been taught by my mother. And my mother...
I've been in your mum's house and she has lots of little ornaments, but no glittery
bust. My mother's house is like Coronation Street.
It is.
And so I like that. What's the point of going out? You see, I don't know. I think you should stay on, William.
Do you have a name?
We'll talk to you more. To you too, Tina. We'll talk to you more after 10.
Do you have a name for your glittery bust? Have you named her?
No, I do not. Don't be ridiculous.
Is it not?
But I've been taught by my mother, go out and buy the cheapest
stuff. The shiniest stuff.
And if there's something for a couple of quid, get it, rather than paying £1,000.
Well, I would agree with that.
I like all of this kind of
plasticky stuff. How much was that? I bet you that was expensive.
No, it was not.
That's where you would fall down.
I bet you it was. It was about 90 quid or something.
90 quid for that? I wouldn't have paid £9 for it.
Stay there, William. We want to understand more about your cloth. Got the etiquette expert, William Hansen, with us today. We've got the commentator, Tina Calder. We're talking about Christmas decorations and what it says about you. William, what about people who don't have a lot of money? Do you think they've just got no chance of...
No. You're making the mistake, Stephen, of bringing money into it. Money's got absolutely very little to do with class. You can have all the money in the world but still be displaying sort of what would traditionally be seen as sort of lower class behaviour. Actually, having if you have the money to, let's say, completely bedeck your house in multicoloured lights, for example.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with money because
it's
your choice. You could bedeck it in white lights now, so you don't have to. White lights and coloured lights are exactly the same price.
So it's more about taste, is it?
Yes, it's taste, and actually less is more. So actually, if you don't have as much disposable income, you probably stand a greater chance of looking slightly more sophisticated than if you've got quite a lot of disposable income.
Can I take this away from Christmas for a moment, and we will, of course, come back to it. Why do you think upper class is more, luxurious? Why do you think upper class... why do you want to be more upper class than more kind of working class? Why do you associate upper class with being better?
Well, it's not necessarily, in some instances it is, but it's just a question of being more tasteful, making things
really
look nicer. If you have a more aesthetic eye, surely you would realise that actually inflatable Father Christmases and Jesus on the bongos in your rockery actually is not particularly that tasteful.
You see, I think I kind of smirk at rich, posh, upper class people. I kind of...
Well, that's snobbery.
I kind of think, you know, if they're decent people, I don't care what class they are. But if they're upper class snobs who think because they've got money that they're in some way more tasteful...
But it's got nothing to do with money.
Yeah, but you're associating being upper class with being more tasteful. I like the inflatable Santas.
I'm sorry.
I don't think it means that I'm any less a person than someone who's upper class.
No, but
I've met more prats. I'll tell you what. I've met more upper class prats than I have working class prats.
Completely. And the article that I wrote originally, which is why we're talking about this, and on today's show, I have not cast any aspersion in terms of someone's background or anything like that. I have talked about what they have actively chosen to put on their house. I've not defamed their character or their morals. We are talking about really quite arbitrary things about what colour your lights are. And it's that is being discussed, not someone's money, not someone's family heritage or anything like that.
And you think it's not tasteful to have your tree up before December the 15th?
No, I mean, I worry that people that put, you know, all the TV studios have put their decorations up, all the shops, etc. And I just worry that come the 24th of December, the 25th, we'll be bored of it all. Because the more you see something, you just get a bit sort of passé and it's sort of a bit average. And I would much rather have a higher concentration of enjoying Christmas decorations than sort of just getting a bit bored of them come the actual day itself.
Chris Souter has contacted us. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you? And good morning, William.
Hello, Chris.
Lovely, William. I like that guy. I must admit, Stephen, I have to admit. But, William, I disagree with you on this. I put my tree up in the middle of November, right?
Oh, dear.
And the tree, and not even the tree, we have numerous trees in the house, and we run it right the way through until the middle of January. I have 2 months of Christmas, William. 2 whole months, and it's absolutely amazing. There's a bit of a reason around that. Obviously, we worked in retail for many years. I would have been working on ourselves from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night for like the whole month of December. So I didn't really get to see Christmas. So we started putting the tree up early and leaving it later.
You don't play Christmas music for over a month, do you?
Stephen, I am playing Michael Bublé Christmas music on in the car on the way in here, and it's absolutely fantastic. Look here. Here's what it is. There's too much stuff in this world that gets people down, right? Christmas time is a time for joy, and a time for fun, and a time for everybody to get together and have a good time. Why not have 3 months of it? What's the problem with that?
William?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it's your right, and I will defend your right to put up the decorations as early as you like. There's also my right to say that that's a bit naff.
Oh, he's calling me naff now, Stephen. Well, look, William, we will have to agree to disagree on this one. Next time you're over, by the way, next time you're over, come over on Christmas. You can come to my house and we will...
Well, I'll just come over in June. You'll probably already have them up.
Yeah, do you know what? I might even put them up again just for you. And you can come over and you can come into the little suitor bubble that we create in our house. And it's just fantastic. Maybe kiddies love it. It's fantastic. And I am going to... This is going to be my tradition now. Up in the middle of November, down in the middle of January, and have 2 months of absolute fantastic Christmas villains, mince pies...
Do you know...
I'll tell you something else, right?
And William, we'll get your reaction to this. Chris, I dare say you might support me in this.
Yeah.
But I go back and forward to America for my holidays, and there's a digital radio, there's a satellite channel that is a Christmas channel. All right.
Yeah.
And we listen to the Christmas channel in July and August when we're driving around America.
It's brilliant.
We play the Christmas tunes, and it's lovely. It's just lovely.
William, what do you think of that?
Well, it's fine, but again, I love a Christmas tune. I love a hymn. Love a bit of Mariah Carey. But if I heard it in July or August, by the time I then hear it again in December, it's not going to have the same effect. It's overexposure.
Tina Calder?
Only Scrooges can say so, bah humbuggy. That's all I can say. You know what? Christmas is such a wonderful time of celebration that people are just so excited about celebrating this wonderful festival, whatever it's turned into from what it maybe was. You know, it just, you know, by putting these limitations, these, you know, creative limitations on it, these interior design limitations, these date limitations, we're just sucking all the life and the fun out of Christmas. William, I think you need to get your tree up.
Here's Walter and Maura. Morning, Walter and Maura.
Good morning, Stephen. Belfast.
I'm Stephen in Belfast. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Stephen, I was on the Lisburn Road yesterday.
Yes.
Just facing the police station.
Yes, know it well.
And beside the dock. There's a place there that does pictures and some fine art. I was just looking in the window and I seen this beautiful, it's about 4 foot. It's an Irish wolfhound. And, you know, I thought, oh, that would be lovely for Christmas. And I went in and I asked him, how much is that? I nearly fell on my face when he told me, £26,000.
Well, that's the price of fine art.
That is the price of fine art. But that's in your league. Stephen, that's in your league.
Well,
not
can
mine.
You see when you say that's in my league, Walter, right? And look, some people will appreciate fine art, and that's their prerogative. All right?
Yes, I do appreciate it.
You see when you say that's in my league. Can I tell you how much the dearest picture is that's in my house? £250.
Well, that would be just about the same as my own.
So you can talk about leagues all you want. The dearest picture of my house is £250, and I love it.
Hey, Walter, can I ask Walter a question?
Yes.
Walter, did you sing How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. How much is that doggy in the window? I actually said that to your shop on the telephone.
To be fair to that shop on the Lisburn Road, it's there on the list. It is a beautiful shop, and it's also there on the Lisburn Road because there's some people prepared to pay that and think that's value. Norman and Bangor.
I agree with you.
Norman.
I agree with you. But I would have loved it, Stephen, and I was thinking maybe you could buy it for me. I would have loved it. Because I think it was absolutely beautiful. And the length of time it must have taken that person to do it was, I think, an awful, awful length of time. I think it's done bronze, actually. Okay. Now, I have a reindeer head.
Do you?
Sitting in my hall.
Yes.
And it would be about 2 foot. Now, I bought it a couple of years ago. It's solid. It's solid metal. And I bought it in a wee shop there in Lisburn, a wee fruit shop, The Barrel, in Lisburn. And you know, it is absolutely beautiful.
I think, we're going off on another tangent now. My goodness, I didn't think we'd be talking about art and pictures on the Nolan Show of all things.
There you
but
go,
I'm starting to try, Tina, to decorate my house now, right? And actually put a bit of time in it and all this kind of stuff. And actually what I'm finding is it's stuff personal to me, important to me in my own life that puts the value on it rather than how much it costs in a shop. For example, Santa Monica is really important to me. It's the only place my soul calms down, all that malarkey. It's true. And I got off a cellar on the beach. I got a little bit of street art. Cost me £150. I would say that's the most important thing to me in my house in terms of decorations. So I didn't need to pay 15 grand for it. I wouldn't have done. I didn't need to go out and buy some massive painting in an auction, you know, to prove value to me. The value to me is there's somewhere special to me, and there's a little street seller who I kind of, you know, a street trader who I kind of have got to know walking past him on the occasions I'm on the beach there. And that 150 quid to me is worth a couple of million of value to me.
Of course, I agree with you on that. But, Stephen, you know, getting back to dressing your house for Christmas.
Yes.
The whole year round, we have a little Christmas thing sitting on a room divider. And it is represent Christmas. And the Christmas to us that represents is what Christmas is all about. We shouldn't forget Christ. We shouldn't forget Christ after Christmas. We remember him the whole year round. And that is why that sits in our house. Now, do you know how much that was, Stephen?
Much.
About £3.
William Hanson?
Now, a long time ago...
Let's let William come in.
So what sits on top of the tree? I mean, again, we're bringing money into it, which everybody is clearly obsessed with money. It's got nothing to do with money. But what, just remind me, what is on top of the tree that costs £3?
Sorry?
You talk. What you mentioned a decoration or something that costs £3? But what I didn't quite hear it. What was that?
What it's is it? Just a little reminder of Christmas. It's just a little Christmas thing that comes up, and it is just a reminder of one thing, that Christmas isn't only for a few days. It's forever.
Okay. Listen. Thank you, Norman. Morning, Norman. Thank you.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas, Stephen. Stephen, I passed a house last night on the Bangor Ring Road, sitting in its own grounds, and it was lit up with all the decorations.
Never mind that, Norman. I would like you to traumatise William Hanson by singing jingle bells to him.
Go ahead.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to have Christmas every day.
William, what's your reaction?
I feel slightly nauseous.
You feel slightly nauseous?
Stephen, this house was like Alice in Wonderland. It was like something out of Disney. It's the best one I have seen so far this year, so it is. And it's worth seeing if you're on the Bangor Ring Road. You'll see the house sitting on its own on the corner.
Well, I was on the Bangor Ring Road. I was on the Bangor Ring Road late last night in the dark.
Well, you go to the Grantia roundabout and you see that house sitting on its own ground. Yes,
it sticks out, does it?
Uh-huh. It's absolutely beautiful. So it is.
Stephen,
it's well worth seeing.
Yes, Chris.
Stephen, can I comment this with him from a retailer perspective? Right. So obviously the Christmas lights get turned on in Belfast and most major cities sort of mid to late November. Would he recommend then that the cities don't turn on their Christmas lights until a week before Christmas?
Yes, ideally.
Oh, jeepers.
But this is something that we've inherited from America. Now, America has many positives, but of course they don't necessarily have culture and history like the United Kingdom has. And the moment that Thanksgiving is finished, up go the Christmas decorations, because America is a capitalist country, as are we, but it's all about money in America. And so, of course, they have to drive people into the shops because they don't have the same societal taboos about money. And because in Britain our own culture has been completely eroded, we have to copy everybody else's culture, in particular America.
Okay.
And so, you know, we just stick the decorations up because we are so consumerist now.
We'll take one more call on this. Kieran and Downpatrick. Morning, Kieran.
Morning, Stephen. I've been selling pallet Christmas trees since August.
You've been what?
Selling pallet Christmas trees since August.
To who?
To the public. I was at the festival in Strangford on the bank holiday weekend and I sold 6 trees that day. Christmas trees.
My goodness.
I can't get enough. The furthest one away is Leitern in Dublin.
My goodness.
I'm making my last delivery this weekend. I think it's 20 Christmas trees and 15 snowmen, and I have 107 Christmas sleighs to make.
It would be quite a good wind-up on William Hanson, wouldn't it? If he woke up one morning and we had the tackiest Christmas decorations put into his front garden. And he walked down the stairs and they were all over your living room, William.
Living room.
Go ahead, William, go ahead.
Well, you could do that, so I make sure I make sure the locks are secure.
Okay. Oh, he makes me laugh. He really does. Kieran, thank you. Tina, thank you. William, you always make me smile.
Well, and Stephen, I wish I could say the same.
Goodbye.